Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
It's time to talk Sabres hockey. Big changes at KeyBank Center. Let's hear all about it. Coach Lindy Ruff is being brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. And by Catholic Health, the right way to care. Now, with head coach Lindy Ruff, here's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
All right, good morning. Sabres win last night, a 3-2. Overtime win over the Boston Bruins. 3-2 they win, and we'll check in with Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff in just a few moments. Win for the Sabres. They are in the standings still in the basement of the Eastern Conference, but crawling out a little bit in the overall league standings. They are still fourth from the bottom, which means they would pick in the top five.
They might. They've been in last in the East since mid-December. They might actually climb out of that by the end of the year.
And past the Flyers, who are falling apart.
Yeah. They are
by falling apart.
Four back of the Flyers with three games in hand. They're also six back of Pittsburgh with three in hand.
It is funny to say, like, the Flyers are falling apart. The Flyers, I believe the Flyers are the only team in the league in the last 10 games with fewer points than the Sabres. I mean, the Sabres had a losing streak at the beginning of this, and they've won three out of four here.
You could see... possibly, both former Sabre GMs getting fired this offseason. Briere in Philly. I mean, this
both
is
former
year,
Sabres that are GMs.
That are GMs is what I meant. He's in. I think this is year three for him as general manager, and it's gone horrible.
And Drury.
And Drury in New York has gotten heat. They have climbed into a playoff spot, so maybe that's a big determining factor. But both of them have had some heat on them.
Yeah. 803-0550, our phone number, and 1-888-550-2550. Sabres win. We go to the Western Hotline to speak with Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff, who joins us now. Lindy, good morning.
Morning. How are we doing, guys?
Not too bad. St. Patrick's Day in Boston. A win, which is always nice, but you know, you're in almost the center of the universe for St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, I think you're right. There was a lot of green here when we bussed from the airport in, and there was a lot of green again yesterday at the game.
Had to be a good feeling to stack wins, and three out of four now for your team. Have you, Rasmus Dahlin made a comment like feeling like the vibe or something has been figured out. Do you get the sense that something has been different in the last week or so?
Well, we're winning hockey games. So that's the most important thing. I think when you talk about being in tight hockey games, we're finding ways now, instead of losing games, we're finding ways to win games. A real tight game last night, a game where, you know, I thought their goalie made a couple great saves in the third period, and we stayed around and played a real smart game, managed the puck really well. I think those areas we are coming together. We're trying to stay strong defensively first and then look for an opportunity to win a hockey game.
Did you have to play, or did the team have to play any differently yesterday when you're missing multiple skilled guys in the lineup and maybe some players, especially, you know, power play? Krebs gets the goal, that some guys maybe would be playing roles that they don't often play?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's an opportunity for some guys. I thought the Krebs power play goal, a great play by that unit. They moved the puck around quick. They opened up the hole. A great shot. It's something that I've been encouraging Peyton to do more is when you get inside that opportunity, not defer to trying to pass. He got rewarded with a great shot. And then, the overtime power play goal, those guys got on the ice and, you know, Tucker was around the front of the net and another power play goal for us. So, you know, I think if you looked early in the year, the power play wasn't making a difference. I think last night it made a difference for us, along with, a great kill in the first period.
Lindy Ruff with us on the Wester Hotline. What about McLeod for that last night? He plays a career high in minutes, almost 24 minutes. And again, circumstance, there were some guys out, but he's been playing a more offensive role, or not even offensive, just more minutes this year with you than he had in Edmonton. And is last night kind of an example of when he's been getting more of a role that he's been producing?
Yeah, you know, I think when, you know, in Edmonton, obviously he's playing behind one of the best players in the game, and I think the opportunity is greater. I think it's been a little bit of an up-and-down year, but I think this last, 30 games, he's a guy that can skate forever. And obviously I had his brother in New Jersey. He was a great skater there. They're similar when it comes to that. And I think he's really wrapped his arms around this opportunity to play more and get involved more. And his play has been real good for us. I actually didn't even look at his minutes. I knew he was fairly high, but when you're first off the bench killing penalties and then, you're elevated to that first power play unit, those guys are typically 20-plus minutes a game. And because he skates so well, he handles those minutes pretty well.
Is he the not even first on your list, but one of the first on your list when you get to a 3-on-3 overtime because of skating? Like, how much does skating, just in general, like the determining factor for who you're putting out there in 3-on-3?
It really is. You've got to be able to skate. I think if you look at some of the best opportunities in 3-on-3, it's because somebody outskated somebody. I think if you go back to the Vegas game, the first chance we gave up was because their Vegas guy outskated us up ice. And a lot of times, the other team will try to isolate that you've got two forwards out there. We'll try to isolate that one forward that, is back defending. And, our goal is to try to stay away from that, where don't really want my forwards skating backwards because it's not their strong suit, so they got to kind of match speed going forward. And if you can't match speed, then you get yourself in trouble. So I think almost every team, their go-to guys are their fastest guys on the team.
Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff. Lindy, there's a power play goal last night. Special teams has been something that's been, dogging this team for a lot this season. And, to get a couple power play goals, actually, that's one spot where I feel like if you're looking big picture, 5-on-5 scoring has been there most of the year, and if it comes down to special teams, things might be different for you. Is that, to you, maybe a positive sign, but also a place to start to show that the results can be better if that just turns around?
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. I think if you go back to earlier in the year, there was a lot of games where even late in the game, let's say we got into the last 10 minutes, we've had a power play that, could have made a difference, could have scored a goal that either would have tied the game or won the game for us. The disappointing part was we didn't get the job done. And I think there was a lot of cases early on even, too, where we gave up that shorthanded goal at an inopportune time that hurt us even worse than not scoring. It's something that we work on every day. I think the The units have been switching. We've changed our mentality a little bit with our penalty killing. We've worked on that now a lot more. I think if you look at the start of that game could have been different if Boston with the 5-on-4 and then the 5-on-3, you know, gets a goal. Then we're digging ourselves a little bit of a hole. So that was a big plus for us. I got a couple of really big blocks. You know, penalty killing is a lot about being in shot lanes, being in the right place, getting your stick in the right place at the right time. And I thought, again, our guys did a good job last night with defending those first couple situations. And then, like we said, I think the power play has been a work in process all year, and maybe we're getting some dividends now. But it's an area that every team probably relies on to win a lot of hockey games.
Lindy, last night, Tage takes a hit from Zadorov, and Greenway jumps right in. Saturday, Krebs did that same thing. And we had talked a lot about this with you after the Devils game with the Tage incident a little over a month ago. Do you feel like you've seen some growth in that department since we talked about that with you about a month ago?
For sure. You know, and I think that's maybe a little bit what Raz is talking about, coming together. The instant message, the instant support for a teammate when something like that happens. What Greener did is the response we want to see. And the outcome of that, if we get an extra penalty or whatever happens, we'll kill that off. I think if you look at the Krebs play, I don't think we gave Vegas a shot on goal. And I think that when you're killing off a penalty of emotion, and that's an emotion penalty, it's a penalty for a teammate, a lot of times you kill those off. You don't kill off those lazy stick infractions. And I didn't like, I'll just say this right now, I didn't like the penalties we took. I didn't like the penalty we took to make it 5-on-3. That's not a penalty we can take as a team if we want to win hockey games on the road. The second penalty in the five on four last night. But the coming together and sticking up for us is something that the growth has been there. It's something that is a must on our hockey club.
What did you think of the Kulik hit, by the way? He does get hit in the head. I don't know if the player jumped or anything or left his feet, but still, it was a head. It was a shot to his head.
Yeah, it was a devastating hit, obviously. You know, I can argue any direction. You know, he's a defenseless player. I think it has to be a little bit like football now, to be honest. I think they've done a great job in the NFL of protecting the receivers, of trying to protect the receivers from headshots. I believe that, you know, the first contact was his head. I think they would argue that, you know, he was kind of bent over. But I think we've got to protect our players better inside the game. And that is just my feeling, that our best players can't go down because you're in a defensive situation and somebody takes advantage of you. So I don't like it. We responded. You have to move on from it.
Lindy, would you support college hockey, his long head? Any contact to the head is a 2-minute penalty. Would you support that for the future of the NHL?
You know, I think in some form, I guess that's what I'm talking about, a headshot. That's the same as football now, where, you know, you used to have devastating hits in football where receivers were opened up and we all thought there was an unbelievable hits, but we lost too many players. You know, when you can have players that can skate, I look at it this way, they can skate up to, you know, 23 miles an hour. I think our speed indicators last night would have been, our top guy would have been almost 23 miles an hour, and you get a guy going the other direction, you can imagine the damage that can be done on an impact. So in some form, I think that's exactly what we're talking about.
And with that, you know, what you're also talking about, I'm thinking back to your playing days, like you are putting the responsibility of the hit on the hitter. Like you, because that's what the NFL does, right? Like, who's responsible? It's the player that is delivering the hit that is responsible for where the contact happens.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly, you know, I think they've, for a while, there was that hit as you came around the net, the forward coming back, after that player, you know, moved the puck, a player would come in and lay a devastating hit on that player that really didn't have eyes on the attacking player. I think that's exactly what we're talking about, that the player that's delivering the hit has to be more responsible for where the contact is. I thought there was a hit later in the game that was really late, too. So I think there's two things there. It's the player delivering it. It's how long after the puck has left the stick that you want to allow these guys to, you know, to put a hit on an opposing player.
Lindy Ruff with us on the Wester Hotline. On Kulik, I don't know if you would have an update on him or Paterka or these other injured players, but are there any update on their statuses?
I do. Paterka had a great day. He argued with me yesterday about playing, which is great, but hadn't skated with the team and felt that didn't want this to be like a one-off, that you jump in the lineup and then you're hurt again with the type of injury he had. So we put him through the paces yesterday after the morning skate. He had an unbelievable morning. He'll be ready for Utah for sure. With Kulik, he's still back in Buffalo. He's in concussion protocol. Doing okay. He'll be exercising again today. If things go well, you know, maybe later in the week he can join us. But we'll just have to wait and see.
And then on Josh Norris, he's been out of a couple games here too. Is there any different treatment for his status, given that he, like, injury was a part of his story before the trade? Is he being treated any more conservatively because of that history?
No. Okay. No, we're treating him as normal. It was something that he previously dealt with. He's with us. So as he progresses, we hope he skates. So we're just trying to get him back into, you know, the right situation and get him back in the lineup.
Lindy, next up, Utah, and it's not a question we can ask all that often, but how does a pre-scout work for a building you've never played in? I mean, the team you could scout, but, you know, rinks have their little idiosyncrasies. Is there any sort of, look into what Utah might be like?
Yeah, you know what, it is interesting. It's funny, I played in Utah in the International League when I, after my stint in the American League, interesting. It was an interesting place to go. But you're right about buildings. I mean, when you come to Boston here and you think about ripping a puck around the glass and you got the stanchions that it can hit and the different reactions in different buildings, how the puck reacts off the kickboards. And it'll be a building and we'll get in, practice in, and then, you know, probably morning skate to get a good feel for it. But great city to have a hockey team in.
All right. Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff. Lindy, thanks for the time, and best of luck in Utah.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Yep.
Sabres
head coach Lindy Ruff joining us on the Wester Hotline as we chat every Tuesday morning there. The head hit stuff, I mean, it's there if the NHL wants it.
Yeah.
But that, like college hockey, if you hit the head, contact with the head,
yep,
penalty.
That's basically, he brings up the NFL, principal point of contact's the head.
Penalty.
Doesn't matter how you hit them. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter, like, in theory, right? It's not supposed to matter how you hit him. Did you hit him with your head? Did you hit him with whatever? You hit the dude in the head, it's a penalty.
Yep.
And in the NHL, it's still, well, did he have his elbow up? Did his feet leave the ground? Was he charging? Like, there are all these different qualifiers to whether or not it should actually be a penalty, which makes it open, I think, to, oh, there's a way to blast a guy in the head, well, and not get a penalty for it.
It's funny, like, on the, Joe, on the scale of this, at the one end is the NFL and the one end is the NHL. You're sitting here saying how the NHL, we ask all these questions on, did the player deserve the hit? And in the NFL, we are just starting to do that with the quarterback slide, are we not? Well.
Oh, yeah.
I want.
Wasn't there something about that recently?
I want to see a change to the slide. I want to see the quarterback be held responsible for trying to draw contact to the head. And Trevor Lawrence was the one that was the most recent where the guy got suspended for 3 games. And we've seen quarterbacks weaponize the slide. I don't think hockey players are doing that. And obviously they're not doing that because they're not getting penalties called just for contact with the head. But there's a spectrum here. And Many think the NFL has gone too far. Some might not think the NHL has gone far enough.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, like, I understand what Lindy's saying there. I don't really disagree. You can go watch great college hockey games, and if there's any contact with the head, penalty right away.
Yeah.
Think about college football. Many people think football too far.
Oh, well, they
targeting.
They throw guys out.
Right. You're out. You're out of the game if it looks like you went for the guy's head. So we have the two sports in town and different ends of the spectrum on how they approach head hits.
The quarterback slide thing I saw, I did see something on that. Did you see this? It was earlier in the offseason.
Probably not. I'm eager to see. Right.
No, you're not going to be eager.
No?
No.
There should be a change.
There is a change coming. Adam Schefter earlier in the offseason said, for all those complaining that Patrick Mahomes gets too many calls, relief could soon be on the way. NFL replay assist is expected to expand this offseason into plays that could include the quarterback slide, league sources told ESPN. So they are going to be looking at it further, but they are going to be doing it in the form of replay.
Well, listen, they need rules, which means Gene Steratore is going to tell me how the slide started. I remember that.
Right.
That happened. Schefter reported that Super Bowl week because that was leading into the Chiefs' narrative of getting all the calls. You know, contact right. with the head, you brush the head, you brush the helmet on in the pocket, that's different. I want to see you're out, you're in open field, you're sliding short of the sticks, right within 2 yards of a linebacker to try to get that call, you're not getting that call. That's what I want to see. We demonstrated many times, I showed clips back when this went off, whenever Lawrence got hit. Allen slides to protect himself. He's very good. He does slide, and when he does, he turns his body and he goes flat. No more second base slides on a stand-up double. It's not a stand-up double if you're sliding, but you know what I mean. No more sliding pop-up slides from the quarterback. You got to go all the way down, and it's on you to protect yourself when you slide. I think Allen does a great job at it, and some quarterbacks don't. So, anyway.
See, this will be a weird combo, though, with the head part, because we just kind of said even that the league now is – it doesn't matter how in what context you hit the guy in the head. If you hit the guy in the head, it's a penalty, but maybe not in this one instance now.
Yeah.
This will be the one instance where it is on the ball carrier. Because you're drawing them into it. That's really what it is, right?
Yeah.
You are baiting them. You want them to hit you in the head.
Oh, Allen does this on the sideline all the time.
Yeah.
So does Mahomes. Yeah, they weaponize that flag.
And that's what's different about high. There's no circumstance in hockey where a guy would be drawing in a head hit like that. You might die. There might be a guy who dives or embellishes.
There's another question. Should the NFL include an embellishment penalty? Because you don't have to call it all that often. Just the threat of it.
I mean, I might
would bring diving from quarterbacks down a little bit. Just the threat. Throw that flag one time. You'd be afraid. Right now, there is no fear from a quarterback embellishing a call.
No,
none.
I mean, can I say no because I feel like Allen would get popped for that a lot?
He'd be popped one time, and then he would stop.
And then he would stop doing it.
Right now, there's no reason not to. There are plenty of people that do a thing because there is no penalty. As soon as it's against the rules, like, all right, I'll stop doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, interesting stuff there from Lindy on head hits and that Kulik. I mean, hopefully he's. I mean, that was a intense hit.
Working back up the wall, guy comes down. Like that is if you are a player in the league that wants to blast somebody, that's the spot to do it. When a guy is working back up, because who's covering him? It's the defenseman down low. So as he's working up, like Howden, the guy who delivers the hit, his man on that play is the point man. And he comes off his own guy to come down and blast Kulik along the half wall. Like that is it's not quite targeting, but in a way it is. You know the guy's going to work back up towards you, and it's kind of like a blindside hit in football. You are targeting to hit him in a spot you know he's not going to be looking for you. And that's what makes it especially dangerous.
This is where, of course, people will say all the time, well, keep your head up.
Right.
Now, worth pointing out,
that could be something Kulik learns from this, is there are guys in the league that if I'm going to work back up the boards like that, I need to be mindful that there could be a few guys in the league that are going to blast me from
it. 803-0550 and 1-888-552-550. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. All right, when we get back, I've got a couple different things for you. The Netflix Christmas news. There's a report on Netflix Christmas news.
Mm-hmm.
We should look into the Bills' schedule. Yesterday, Mike and Chris were talking about the Bills' home schedule.
Final season at the stadium.
I might be ready to give you a hot take on the road schedule. If you haven't looked at it or don't quite know it, hang on for that. So the Netflix Christmas news, Bills' road schedule. I also have a stat on Rory for you. We already did our stat of the day, but I got another stat on Rory. Anyway, all that with your phone calls. Give us a ring if you want. You can hang out with us. We'll check out what's going on in the chat. I have one of the strangest comments ever in the chat that has appeared today. We'll get to that as well. It's all coming up on WGR.
Hi, everyone. This is Roy McIlroy, your 2025 Players Champion. I've been asked to describe this week in one word, and I would say battle. It was a battle most of the way. Conditions, you know, even going into Monday with JJ, battling, you know, the golf course, battling my emotions. So this was a battle, but a battle I was thankful to come out on top of.
Rory wins the Players. Next up, the Valspar, some tournaments on the way. Here is your secondary stat of the day, and then I've got some interesting Bill stuff for you on the schedule. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. So, Joe, Rory has won an awful lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's won a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a lot of wins on tour. He's won big tournaments. Anyway, found this, which I found really interesting. And maybe not surprising, or maybe surprising.
He's got 43 professional wins.
Okay.
Yeah. He had won early in February, the Pebble Beach Pro-Am.
He'd won in February.
Yeah.
He's won in March.
Mm-hmm.
He's won in January. He's won in May. A lot in May. June, July, August, September, October, November, December. Rory has won in every month.
Yeah.
Except April. He's never won in April.
Okay.
And he's never won the Masters.
Right.
It's the only month of the year he's never won a tournament.
Okay.
Two wins in December. Two wins in January. Five in November.
I'm looking at his list right now. Asterisks on the he's never won in April because he did win last year in the Zurich Classic with Shane Lowry.
That's not a win.
So that's not, it's half a win.
Individual.
Individual. Okay. Individual, he's never won.
Never won in April. There you go.
Never won in April.
All right. Do you want to make a bet with me?
I didn't realize Masters is the one he doesn't have.
Dunno. Nope.
Okay.
Want to make a bet?
Yeah, two PGA championships.
Put it on the bet board. We will be at Highmark Stadium on Christmas. Want to make that bet? We will be at Highmark on Christmas Day. Allow me to run through why. Here's why.
Run through why. My reaction immediately is no, we won't. The odds would say we will not be.
Okay. If not Christmas Day, Black Friday. But here's why. I saw yesterday, what day of the week is Christmas this year? Answer?
Is it a Thursday?
It's a Thursday.
Yeah, because last year was a Wednesday.
Last year it was a Wednesday and they did a doubleheader.
Yeah.
So they'll do a doubleheader. And what else happens on Thursday?
Amazon.
Thursday Night Football.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at a Christmas triple header. And then a game on Black Friday as well.
So we'll have three games instead of two? Did we have two last year?
We had two on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
On Wednesday.
Yeah.
So will there be a triple header? Will Amazon have Thursday and Friday?
Well, wait a minute. Doesn't Netflix get the Christmas?
Netflix gets a doubleheader on Christmas.
On Christmas, and then Amazon is
Amazon
getting the night game.
Is there a Christmas night game?
Because they'll say, we get Thursday Night Football. This is a Thursday. I don't care what day it is.
Right. So we'll just go Amazon. You know, Netflix at 1 and 4 and Amazon at 7. Anyway, the Bills' schedule, the home schedule next year is loaded with good matchups, and their road schedule, the hot take I was going to give you is, should they go unbeaten on the road?
The Bills?
Yeah.
I know all their hard games are at home.
Here are their road opponents.
Yeah.
Division.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, We can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Atlanta, Carolina, Cleveland, Houston, Pittsburgh. What are you thinking?
You could run the table on the road.
And thinking 7-1 would be like, okay.
Yeah.
At home.
At home is the tough one.
Here come your primetime games or 4 o'clock games. Cincinnati, Philadelphia, Kansas City, Baltimore. Mm-hmm. Those four. Should we put all four of those as 4 o'clock or later?
Yeah. All of them. All their most interesting games are all home games.
Yep. And I'll see you on Christmas Day for Bills Bengals. I mean, come on.
That's the one you're putting on Christmas Day?
Yeah.
Not. Is it too good?
No.
For Christmas Day?
Last year Christmas Day was Chiefs Steelers.
Yeah, I mean, that's.
It's pretty good. And it was Ravens Texans? Who was the other one?
Ravens-Texans sounds right. Yeah.
Was that it?
I think you're right. Yeah. I think it was Ravens-Texans. Ravens won by 100, right?
They did.
Yeah.
They blew them out.
Those
were good games. Houston
the Steelers game was a good game. I mean, the Steelers are the Steelers.
The Steelers are the Steelers.
They're a brand.
You want to play the Steelers on Christmas Day again? They probably won't play on Christmas Day again.
No.
I will be planning to be at Highmark on Christmas Day until further notice. The NFC's got a couple more juicy matchups. Washington being introduced, maybe Chicago, Detroit's still there.
Yep.
You know, the Cowboys, the Eagles. But, you know, last year, the doubleheader for the AFC on Christmas, maybe it's a doubleheader for the NFC on Christmas, and I'm wrong. But between three games on Christmas Day, possibly, and then Black Friday.
Well, they also they won't have a game on New Year's Eve or Christmas Eve, right?
On Wednesday, I don't think
they played Wednesday last year.
They did. I don't think they'll have a Wednesday game on Christmas Eve.
All right. Netflix would have to say, hey, why don't we did Wednesday last year. We'll throw another one in?
Wouldn't Christmas Eve be a big ask? Listen, Christmas, if you're going for the holiday itself, what time does it peak? Christmas Eve into Christmas morning, and by 1 p.m. I'm looking for something to do.
Yeah.
Or a game to put on television. You tell me Christmas at 8 p.m., I can't be watching a football game.
So they can't play all these holidays. We think Christmas is more likely than Black Friday? They've not been in the Black Friday
game. Well, there are three games on Christmas and there's one on Black Friday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, odds would be better. I'll bet no on that. Yeah, we'll put it up on the bet board. I'll bet no.
I get Christmas, you get no.
Does it have they would, like, them on the road is not going to happen. So I guess for me, it's just thinking they're not going to be playing on Christmas. They want to play on Thanksgiving. Right? They like playing on Thanksgiving. Haven't they kind of said that? They like playing on Thanksgiving. They get to be home with their families for the weekend after and celebrate it then. And they didn't play on Thanksgiving last year. So I might, and they're not going to play on Christmas and Thanksgiving. I almost feel like Thanksgiving is more likely. They like it.
Three games on Thanksgiving. Are they finally going to be home for Thanksgiving?
That's the thing they haven't done. Yeah. How about Bills and
Dolphins? Thanksgiving does not need to be a big, juicy game.
Bills,
Patriots, Thanksgiving.
Mm. You don't want to do division, though, right? Bills and Saints. There you go.
I already did that. You're going to come here this time?
Yeah, the Bills Saints Thanksgiving Classic. We're going to make it a tradition. Every time the Bills play the Saints, it has to be on Thanksgiving. New tradition.
All right. I'm into it.
Bills Bucks. That works, right? Bills Bucks on Thanksgiving. Bucks are interesting, aren't they? I have them on my list here, by the way. That's right?
Yep. They're on the list.
That's appealing enough. Tampa, they're fine. They're good.
I do think we have dodged the big home game, big moment. I mean, there have been big home games, no doubt about it. But this year is the one where, I mean, the four best games of the year, and maybe more than that, are home games.
Yeah, Ravens, Bengals, Chiefs, Eagles. That's the top four draw. Well, three of the top four draws in the league.
Who's the other one? Detroit?
Is Cincinnati not?
Oh, Cincinnati is.
They definitely are?
Yeah.
Over.
And we'll see what kind of season they're having. Maybe get that out of the way early.
The Cowboys are still the Cowboys. True. I guess, but.
803-0550. CJ in Buffalo, quickly on this. Hey, CJ, good morning.
Hey, guys, real quick. I don't know if you guys know the answer to this or not, or if there's a way to look it up. Are the Bills not the most viewed team in the NFL on major holidays? 5 years, maybe?
They're one of them. I mean, the ratings for Bills games have been very, very good, yeah.
Yeah, that was all I have for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're a great candidate to go on Thanksgiving or Christmas, and they've done Thanksgiving three times. They've not done Christmas, and they've also not hosted these games.
Right.
And what? Here's another.
I don't think people want them to host it, though, right? Wouldn't fans rather have it on the road?
Doesn't matter what people want.
I know it doesn't matter, but like, wouldn't fans rather than be on the road?
Yes,
Bills fans would.
Yes. One other thing. What does television love?
Snow.
Bills are going to be home for one of those 2 days, Christmas or Black Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get the Bills in some snow.
Is that going to be, what is that, week 16? Do you have that open? Week 17?
15, maybe.
Okay, if it's that early, then this wouldn't be the case. I'm wondering if it's possible that could be their final home game. If they were to play on Christmas. Like, end the stadium on Christmas Day against whoever.
Ah.
But if that's week 15, that's probably a little early for that. It'd probably have to be 17.
Nah. Last year, they closed their last two games on the road, right?
Okay, so week 16 then could work for
last
that?
Last two games on the road or last one game on the road last year?
One game. They beat the Jets in week 17.
But they've definitely finished road before.
Yeah, they have.
Last
home game at that stadium, at the Highmark Stadium at on Christmas.
Good idea, bad idea. That's a great way to put it. The last game, playoffs. There's going to be playoffs.
That's right.
In theory.
In that way, because we assume they're going to win the division, that might not even be a special part of the schedule when it comes out who are they going to wrap up the season against or wrap up the stadium against? Because nobody in their right mind is going to believe that their last home regular season game is going to be their last home game.
Yeah, so it's the Saints.
Sure, right. Just put whatever you want in there because it doesn't even end up mattering.
Remind me, Kellen Moore. I was going to say, who took the Saints job?
Kellen Moore.
That's right.
Kellen Moore. Still Derek Carr.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. As a goalie when we return, there's a goal in the game last night. I texted the fellas. I'm like, I'm going to talk to Owen about that one. As a goalie, we'll do that when we get back. Get a breakdown of Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, who had a pretty strong game overall for the Sabres in their overtime win. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. Mm-hmm. Hey, as a goalie, should that guy have gotten that?
As a goalie.
As a goalie. You can't blame UPL for a game like that. The defense was so bad. So, as a goalie, can you?
Yes, is the easy answer there. If you look at a game where you get 29 shots on goal against and give up 7 is not good.
It's only a game. Why do you have to be mad?
That is where you start getting into goaltending is voodoo.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Sabres, WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, as a goalie, breakaway goal last night. Samuelson gets beat. He gets back, gets his stick kind of, you know, around the geeky. Felt like he should have had something there.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, all right, Owen Parker here, as a goalie, how much are you reading what the defenseman has done there?
That's the point I wanted to come on and make. I've seen a lot of, like, what is Lukanen doing on this play? This is Samuelson all day. Like, he's coming back, and you see as Samuelson first gets him and hits his stick, Geeky loses the puck for a second.
I thought Samuelson was going to get it done. It's like he had two really good cracks at getting it.
Exactly, and that's what UPL's reading. UPL is going, all right, he's got him. All Geeky can do is just get, like, shovel this puck at me, which is what stops UPL's backwards momentum, and then that's what leaves him, you know, sitting on his butt in the crease looking like a fool, is Samuelson just waving the wand at Geeky and not making a play at the puck. It was... I've seen a lot of UPL was bad on that, and I thought he was really good last night. He did a really good job of settling down after those first two goals and keeping them in that game, even though he didn't have a lot of work. But on that goal, like, that is Samuelson all the way, because he is – UPL's trying to read what Samuelson taken away for Geeky. That, you know, eliminates a side of the net or an opportunity for Geeky. It makes my job easier. So he sees Samuelson almost make the play, and then – doesn't make the play, and that's how UPL ends up looking like he does.
Yeah.
And I think that's entirely on Samuelson.
You
if
say
I'm being honest.
He's thinking, like, all this guy's going to be able to do is shovel the puck. So he's kind of playing for the little change up nub. Adam, make sure you don't get beat on that.
Exactly. He's just trying. Like, he sees all he can do is shovel this. I'm going to stop my momentum coming back. Take away more net. Be closer on this puck, and Geeky's going to be screwed because he can't get around me. Because Samuelson's got his stick on his stick. And then, you know, ninja dust from Samuelson, and that's it.
All right. I mean, I thought it was a pretty soft stick from Samuelson myself. Like,
yeah.
You were there twice.
Yeah. His stick, which we remember, was once called the Viper. I looked that up. That was true. Darlene used to call it that.
He called Samuelson's
two years ago
the Viper?
Yeah. And now, nothing.
Now it's the... I don't know. I don't have a name.
It's one of those wooden snakes. You know, the, like, little wooden ones with the string in the middle?
He really... Is it Office Space? Like, so what do you do here?
Samuelson?
That's The Office. He's yelling at Creed, I think, actually.
A buyout. He's a big buyout candidate, right? Because they could buy him out and save a lot of money.
10 years, $700,000 per year to buy him out. It's a weird one.
Yeah.
But you save you save two-thirds of the money before he turns 26. So you got to do it now. Or if you think you could trade him. What? But, like, that's the thing. Who would watch him play and think, oh, I want that guy for $4 million per year for the next 6 years, 5 years? What does he do? What is he good at? Anyone? What is he good at?
Not only that, he's
one thing. Name one thing.
He doesn't rate well enough. Maybe this is wrong, but my thought was he doesn't rate well enough to have a coach come in and say, okay, you got to fix that guy. Like, Darlene is a guy where you hire the coach, what answers, what systems, how does this guy fit? This is supposed to be a core piece. I mean, listen, it'd be great if you could fix this. I mean, defensemen...
But you don't really...
But defensemen don't come cheap. Is Zadorov a tail here? Zadorov was...
He was expensive.
Well... I'm just saying, he was a guy, he was here, he was supposed to be big and mean and tough to play against, and he had those elements to his game, but the Sabres traded him away, and he's bounced around, and now he's in a spot where everybody that watched that game last night thinks, like, man, I'd really love to have Zadorov. Not that Zadorov ever got to the place where Samuelson is right now after getting paid.
But it took him a few years, and he finally became, like this year, right now he's a top pair defenseman in Boston. He's probably more like a top four guy. I don't even know if he's a good one, but he is playing 20 minutes a night, and that has never been his MO at all in his career. He's always been like a third pair guy.
Yeah. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 to join us, Jeremy and Joe, here on WGR. We'll check what's going on in the chat. I have some very odd comments in the chat today. Syracuse's Fran Brown has an offer to Deion Sanders. That's exciting.
Oh, the landscape, spring game.
The landscape changing college football. Plenty more to get to as we roll through this sunny Tuesday on WGR.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatment to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.